And that was Everything Will Flow by the band Suede. I love that song. Thanks for joining me tonight, you guys. This is another edition of Supernatural Radio, and I am your host, Corrine DeWinter. And thank you so much, gals in the chat room and guys. Thank you so much. You guys are in for a treat tonight because I was thrilled that William Stillman agreed to come on the show and have a conversation with me and maybe do a couple readings at the end of the show. Now, if you're unfamiliar with William Stillman, you can go to his website among many other things. He's got videos on YouTube. It's williamstillman.com. And he is the author of a bunch of different books, award-winning books. And so many that, I mean, one of them is The God Connection, Autism and the God Connection, The Soul of Autism, and so many others. And Under Spiritual Siege is one of them. And the subtitle, How Ghosts and Demons Affect Us and How to Combat Them, which I really want to talk to him about tonight. Now, since 2004, William has worked professionally as a psychic and spiritual counselor. His accuracy in discerning the truth and making predictions that come to fruition has been acclaimed by his clients as truly extraordinary and ranks at 90% to 98% accuracy. Excuse me. He specializes in identifying clients' gifts and talents, as well as aiding discarnate spirits to transition to the heavenly realm. And he has investigated hauntings on behalf of the Pennsylvania Paranormal Association. Bill has also relieved others of the physical symptoms of pain and discomfort with prayer and laying on of hands. He has been consulted on missing person and unsolved homicide cases. Now, his bio goes on. He prepares himself very well before, doing any readings or any work like this. And if you, there's a picture of Bill, of course, on the show page. Now, he's probably going to blush when I say this, but he almost looks holy to me. He's very clean looking, and you can just kind of see the light shining through him, which I think is wonderful. So, with all that being said, I'm going to bring on William right now, and we'll see how he's doing. Hi, William.
Good evening, Corrine, and thank you so much for having me as a guest on your program. And by the way, I loved that song also, and it was the first time I heard it, so I think you made a perfect choice.
Oh, good. Because I thought, William, I was thinking everything will flow. And I think that you might live your life like that as well, but I'm not positive.
Well, the older I get, the more I see the flow to how one thing connects to another thing, and it's all just part of the grand scheme of the universe.
Right. Now you've got quite the history, William. And I find your books are just, I haven't read any of the books so far, quite honestly. But wow, Autism and the God Connection. Can we talk a little bit about can you tell us like a synopsis of what the book is about and what you've learned about autism?
Yes, well, I have been working in the field of supporting people with developmental differences, including individuals with autism, for 30 years now. And in addition to that, I am myself on the autism spectrum. And so the book really came about as a byproduct of the work that I was doing, but more specifically, the individuals and families that I was encountering who were experiencing some aspects of spiritual giftedness in their loved ones, such as clairvoyance and premonition and the ability to interact with animals, seemingly through telepathy, in addition to a host of other experiences. And I found this really intriguing, and I decided to, in the early days of the internet, sort of put out some feelers through various chat groups and message boards and so on. And lo and behold, I began hearing from people all across North America and some internationally who were telling me the same stories or similar stories and were unknown to one another. And that led me to believe that perhaps I was onto something, something that maybe no one else had really fully explored and illuminated. And I put that together in this book, Autism and the God Connection, which I considered rather risky at the time, and hopefully did not upset or offend anyone. And it was well received. And so I followed it up with two more books containing information that was known to me at the time of Autism and the God Connection, but which I thought would be wiser to withhold and parcel out incrementally, hence the trilogy of books. But that's how Autism and the God Connection came about.
That's awesome. And I mean, this is so necessary and needed in our world right now, William. And I applaud you for bringing this to the fore and really getting out there and working with people, you know. And I believe also that, you know, there's something more, way more to people that have, you know, what we might call disabilities or, you know, differences in the way our brains work or whatever. I believe that it's a very special kind of gift that people have, although it's viewed by the public as, you know, wrong or not like them, I guess. So it's very important. Now, so you have lots of, you do lots of classes and events, I know. And you are in Pennsylvania, or where are you?
Yes, I'm in South Central Pennsylvania in the Harrisburg area. And thank you for your kind comments also. I appreciate that.
Yes, you're welcome. Now, I'm on your presentations page, and this is at williamstillman.com if you guys want to check this out, and you definitely should. You've also got a presentation coming up on, well, among many others, developing your personal intuition. I wish I was in your area so I could go. And then, of course, you do psychic galleries, conversations with dogs, deciphering spiritual hieroglyphics, that's awesome, and Under Spiritual Siege, which you wrote a book about, combating destructive energies. Can we talk about that a little bit, William, please?
We can talk about whatever you wish. What would you like to know?
Tell me, in your opinion, what are the negative energies out there? And how do you go about combating them? And are they really that, you know, I mean, because people talk about demons and whatnot. And I want to know your opinion about negative forces. What are they? And how, like, how do we encounter them? How do they encounter us? And how do we combat them?
Yes. Yes. Well, that's a tall order to do in the time that we have allotted. I wrote the book Under Spiritual Siege for the layperson. In my work as a psychic medium, part of that includes investigating what we would call haunting type of situations. And what I began to see was that people who were experiencing some unusual or what we might call paranormal activity were taking it upon themselves to attempt to do their own investigation, and the information that they were using as a template for doing their own investigation was being drawn from terrible horror movies and ghost shows that they saw on television. And so these were folks who were, you know, actively attempting to engage with whatever it is that was causing some chaos and upset in their homes. And they're, you know, openly calling out to it. They're attempting to video and audio record it. They're taking pictures and so on. And that's the last thing that any of those folks should be doing. They're the last people that should be attempting to actively engage with anything destructive because they live there. And also, I don't believe that they're following a template or a model that is authentic and helpful. And so I wrote the book to explain what's what. Now, your question was, what's a negative energy or what's a destructive energy? Well, in my opinion and my experience, there are two types of energies that we're talking about. The first is a ghost, which is the soul energy of a human being who has left the physical by virtue of the dying process, but has not successfully transitioned to the heavenly realm and instead has remained earthbound for myriad reasons. Now, in the situation where there is a haunting by a ghost or sometimes ghosts, plural, because they consider themselves to still be human and to project an image of themselves as human, and they retain human emotions and thought processes, you can rationalize and reason with them. And that is how you can slowly wear them down to get them to come around to understanding that they no longer possess a physical body and that they are indeed deceased and that it is time for them to begin moving toward the heavenly realm where they will be welcomed and received. Now, that's different from the second form of destructive energy, which is commonly known as the word you used, demons. Demons are a negative energy that are inhuman. They have never been human, and so there is no rationalizing or reasoning with them in the way that you can with a ghost. Demons thrive upon chaos and destruction. And if you do your homework and you research people who have committed mass murders or individuals who have repeatedly attempted to harm themselves or in some extreme cases have killed their entire family, you will see consistently that they have said, I was hearing a voice or voices other than the voice that I would use to talk to myself. It was a guttural, growling sounding voice, and it was telling me to harm myself, to take my life, or to take the lives of others. And so that's the distinction between the two types of negative energies. Did I answer your question, or was there more to it?
No, I'm wondering, William, do you think that these so-called demons are our own thought forms that we create out of fear?
Well, there is such a thing as a tulpa, T-U-L-P-A, and maybe you or some of our listeners may be familiar with that, which is the manifestation of an entity by virtue of constantly directing your energy and your thoughts toward it. But I don't believe that's the case in the instance of demons. Demons are, as I said, that inhuman energy. They thrive on chaos and destruction. They are very insidious. They will be patient. They are cowardly. They will target very young children. They will target people who are very vulnerable because of their predisposition to mental illness. They will target people who are struggling with addiction. They will also target the wealthy and famous. And those who have political sway over others because these are people who have mass followers. and will believe in what
right.
they're being told, right? So it really runs the gamut. But the ultimate goal of the most destructive of these energies is to set the stage for a murder-suicide type of situation to occur.
Mm. Wow. So, you know, is it fair to say that if your life is going really bad and, you know, all these things are happening to you, that you might in fact be a target for these negative energies?
Well, it's one possibility. And I think that, you know, if it feels to you like there's always a cloud over your head, or if it feels like things are very rapidly deteriorating, really falling apart, you need to sort of enter into a time of self-analysis to think, is this something that I need to attempt to reclaim? Or is there a destructive energy around me in the form of another person who is an addict, who is an alcoholic, who is an abuser? What I can tell you also, Corrine, is that every instance in which I have investigated a situation in which the so-called paranormal activity was determined to be caused by a demonic energy, every single time there was abuse and addiction in that household.
Right, right. Now, I used to go on a few investigations with Ed and Lorraine Warren, who you might be familiar with, and they would clearly interview the family members and, you know, determine if there was abuse and drug use and things like this before they did anything. So like you mentioned earlier about the ghost shows that are on now, the, you know, ghost adventures and things like that, I find those insulting and very Hollywoodized and not of much assistance to, you know, those entities that are maybe stuck. It's very ridiculous, you know, so I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. But so,
well, may I interject
the
for just
is,
a moment?
Sure.
I haven't seen any of those programs, so I'm really not in a position to comment or critique them. But I'm very grateful to hear the attitude and the position that you've taken, which is one of compassion. We have to remember, when we're talking about these energies that are ghosts, which we're people, we're human beings, they are oftentimes very upset, they are depressed, they are angry, they're confused, and they're disoriented. And so I think any approach that attempts to sensationalize the situation or attempts to provoke them in any way is certainly not helpful. And I think that speaks to what it is that you've just said as well.
Right, yes. So, you know, I think, William, and I don't know how you, I think you must feel the same way, that we cannot fight darkness with more darkness or anger or fear. We have to fight it, if we're going to fight it at all, with light and love. Now, on this page, on your upcoming events page here, it says, okay, finally, we will all be empowered to participate in becoming the antidote to counteract a siege that is slowly but steadily increasing as our world becomes divided into two factions. Those who are narcissistic, insensitive, and callous, and those who are kind, compassionate, and altruistic. Now, we know what's going on in the world today, right? We all know, we see the news, and, you know, we've got a new president. And what I guess what I'm asking, William, as a visionary that you are, Do you think that actually our compassion, altruism, and kindness will overcome this darkness that we're experiencing in this world?
To believe that, Corinne, I have to believe it. I think that at the heart of the most overwhelming evil, there glows the tiniest spark of potential for redemption. No one is beyond being redeemed, but we need to unite together in fighting the good fight and to deflect and repel anything that is not for our greater good.
Right. It's just, you know, as you know, William, it's overwhelming for some people. It's overwhelming to look at what is happening, people starving, this, you know, people that are hurt and broken. It's overwhelming, but I know that we have to do it bit by bit on our own, that we can change things. We can change the atmosphere and people and situations around us. And, you know, if we all keep doing this, we can make a dent at least. And, you know, just, I mean, it's so simple. I always say, and it's just a simple term from the Bible, love one another. And that seems to be a very difficult thing for a lot of people to just do. And
well, I think it's,
so
I think
anyway,
it's become, I think it's become urgent now more than ever. You look at the nationwide heroin epidemic and how people are in servitude to this addiction. It is their God. And they know it's wrong and they know it's destructive. And so many people are powerless to resist it. In my opinion, that's part of the destructive plan of some of these negative energies.
Right. And, you know, in keeping with that, what you just said, William, do you believe that things happen for a reason, such as the bombings, the, you know, this type? Do things happen for a reason, do you think?
Yes, I do. I do believe that things happen for a reason, and I think the challenging part about understanding that is that in the moment, it seems tragic and it seems unfathomable and it seems so unfair. But I have to believe that ultimately, in the grand scheme of the big picture, when we all get to where we're going, it's going to make sense.
Right. That's what I think, too. It's like, you know, as human beings, we cannot understand, you know, the big, giant picture of our lives. We cannot understand with a human mind, you know, what, why things happen and the labyrinth that we go through in life and ups and downs and whatnot. So, you know, you claim a pretty high rate of reading success, your psychic readings, 98%. That's like huge, William. So can you kind of tell us why you think you're why you think that, you know, I mean, I know you have plenty of testimonials. How do you achieve that 98% accuracy rate?
Well, for me, it is very much a unique and individualized process. So what works for me is what works for me, and it may not work for you. So let me say that first of all. I attempt to be very disciplined in creating as pure and clear and clean a channel as possible. So what that means is that my body and my body's health is very important to me. I exercise daily. I have been a vegetarian for well over 20 years. I don't drink or smoke. I've never touched in my life an illegal substance of any kind. I don't cheat or lie about anything, not even what people call white lies. I don't curse or swear. And I devote some time throughout each day to prayer and meditation. In fact, there has been a spate of radio interviews that I've done recently that have all had outrageous electrical disturbances. So I made absolutely certain that I said a prayer prior to us coming on the air a few moments ago. But that's what works for me. Trying to create that pure and clear and clean channel as absolutely possible. And then, as you read from my biography, prior to entering into any kind of work, I bless the space in which I'm working. I get in early so that I can spend some time in prayer and meditation. And then I say a blessing with each client as well. So we are triple dog protected all the way around. And from there, I turn everything over to my team. I'm working with a group of soul energies called spirit guides. Perhaps you and your listeners are familiar with the phrase. And there's about four of them that I'm aware of. I feel them off to my left side. Sometimes when I'm working with an audience, people will actually tell me that they've seen flashes of colored light off to that side. So that's a lovely validation. And working with them is kind of like being a translator of a foreign language. So my job is to interpret what it is that they're communicating and put it into words in ways that the layperson would understand. Because they originate in the heavenly realm, nobody's physical. It's all energy buzzing and vibrating at various frequencies. So they're still communicating, but they're not using a voice box. They're using pictures, movies, words, phrases. They may make me feel things. They may make me smell, hear, or taste things. So when I enter into that process and I grant them permission to come in, they're playing off of my physiology, my senses, my emotions, and my memories. And that's how it works for me.
Right. Okay. And, you know, I can't claim to be as clean as you, William, but that's okay. But, you know, I
it's
think
it's a pretty high standard to live up to.
It's important to take care of yourself. It is. It would be impossible for me right now. But anyways, not impossible, but whatever. Okay. So I'm also on your, again, on your presentation page, you have a presentation coming up, how to connect with your spirit guide that we just spoke a little bit about. Now, for instance, I'm taking a class right now, and one of the exercises that I'm trying to do is connecting with a spirit guide. And so how, you know, just like how do we connect with our spirit guide? I mean, if I say, you know, step forward, one of my spirit guides, step forward, I acknowledge your existence, I am here. And how would you, you know, just in a synopsis, how would you tell people to connect with their spirit guides?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing that I would suggest is, are you in a place where you feel that you are ready to bear the responsibility of the relationship? This is a reciprocal relationship. It's not a relationship of convenience. And also, I think it's important that connecting with your spirit guide or guides is coming from a place of desire and not desperation. In other words, I don't think that it's an authentic motivation to want to connect with a spirit guide because you want to feel special, you want to feel powerful, or you want to make a bargain with spirit in saying that, well, if I do this for you, will you do X, Y, and Z for me? Those are not good reasons for wanting to connect with a spirit guide. Secondly, I think for reasons that we've been discussing, it is of the utmost urgent importance that any time you are communicating with a spirit guide, that you do so in the context of a protective prayer, first and foremost. The reason for that is because the reason for that is, as we've been discussing, there are negative and ill-intended energies that are roaming this world that will seize upon a vulnerable opportunity to masquerade as something they are not, in order to deceive and in order to engage with people who are maybe desperate or maybe struggling. So it is, again, of urgent importance that you connect with a spirit guide always in the context of prayer. And now I'm done.
Right. Okay. Well, you mentioned in the description here also the six signs of which to be aware as indicators that a spirit guide is making his or her presence known. Can you tell us a couple signs, William, that we are connecting with a spirit guide?
Yes. One of the signs might be that you get a ringing in one ear that is not intrusive, that is not disruptive, that is not impairing the quality of your daily life, like a tinnitus would, all right? And you should get that ringing in one ear when you are thinking of your spirit guide, when you feel as though you are connecting spiritually in general, when you are being particularly creative in manifesting your gifts and talents. That would be one sign. Another sign might be that you begin getting validations of the name that you give to your spirit guide, as is what happened to me and others whom I have mentored. So those are a couple of symptoms of knowing that a spirit guide might be near to you.
Wow. Okay. So last night, as I said, William, I was doing, I did the prayer and then I asked my spirit guide to step forward. And then this morning when I woke up, I kept thinking of the word Essenes, Essenes. And I looked it up and it's a Jewish, a Jewish faction of people a long, long time ago. I wonder, William, do you think that that might be to do with my spirit guide, that I kept thinking of that word?
That's a possibility, and I would encourage you to explore the meaning of that term and the historical context of that term. I feel very strongly, if I may be so bold, Corrine, that you have a female spirit guide named Delilah, and she is very artistic, very creative, and very musical. Sort of like she shows herself to me as something of a gypsy type of personality. So if that appeals to you, you might want to consider that as well.
Oh, wow. It appeals to me a lot, William. I am very creative myself, and I love the whole gypsy attitude. So that's really cool.
Yes.
Thank you.
So she shows herself to me, stereotypically, she's dancing with a tambourine. She has a flowing skirt, a very attractive young girl, but very, very creative, very artistic, very much attuned to animals in nature and nature in general. She also knows what it is to be ostracized and to be made to feel as a as an outlier, and she tells me that you know that also. So I don't know if that's correct or not, but I'm just passing that along.
That's correct.
All right.
So, wow, that's so interesting. Go ahead. And is she, I mean, can you see her? You can obviously see her, right, William?
I have a general impression of her as we're speaking, yes. Mm-hmm.
And one of the chat room people said it's 98% correct what you just said about her. And do you, and which brings me to my next question. Do you think that some of our, you know, because we have other bodies, like our spiritual body and our, psychic body and whatnot. Do you think that some of our guides are actually other parts of ourselves, William?
I don't know if I believe that, but, you know, I think anything's possible. My understanding of a spirit guide is that it is a formerly human soul that over the course of lifetimes, plural, has advanced and evolved to the position of being a mentor, a tutor, a muse, a source of inspiration. So that's my understanding of a spirit guide.
Okay, yeah. But I wonder, like, you know, if people speak about our higher self, and what do you think about, like, for instance, your own higher self? Do you speak to your higher self? Do you ever have your higher self speak to someone else's higher self?
I don't, actually. And I'm not sure that I would know what my higher self would be. Maybe my higher self is just that aspiration of a goal that I set each day to just be a good and kind and decent human being.
Right. Okay, interesting. So also when people like burn sage, you know, going back a little bit to, you know, Under Siege book that you wrote, and we are speaking with William Stillman, you guys, williamstillman.com. You can find out a lot about him on that website and also see what he's got upcoming if you're in the Pennsylvania area or if you want to fly over and take one of his upcoming presentations. But going back to Under Siege, now people say, for instance, that they burn sage and they do this and they do that to protect themselves. What do you think about that protection as opposed to, you know, like say prayer? I mean, I think prayer is very important, but what do you think about burning sage and all that?
Well, I wouldn't know the first thing about burning sage. It's not something that I've done. I would not be discouraging of that or doing whatever anyone thinks that they need. I don't know, hanging a garlic wreath or sprinkling salt or using crystals or what have you. But bottom line is nothing, absolutely nothing trumps the power of prayer.
Right. I agree with that. So, you know, I mean, you obviously, you know, you're very healthy. You look, you know, I have to say, once again, you look like you have light shining out of your face. But you look so healthy, you know what I mean? And
well, maybe not too
William?
Shabby for a guy in his mid-50s.
Oh, wow. You're in your mid-50s? You look like you're 30.
Well, that's clean living, baby.
William, it would make sense because I'm actually in my early 50s and I look like I'm 90. But
oh.
only kidding. I'm only kidding. So when you give your psychic readings, how do you first of all, what would the people, do they ask you one question, or do you just pick up what you're getting on them as you're speaking to me right now, and you just told me who my spirit guide, one of my spirit guides could be. How do you kind of do readings? Like, how do you want people to present themselves to you when they're asking for a reading?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Corin, and I appreciate you asking it. Again, I think it should come from a place of desire, not desperation. I know it's really difficult not to do this, but I think the best readings come when people do not walk in with a very specific agenda, but instead are just very open to it. And the way I conduct my readings is they are 1 hour, and the first half of the session is just me working with that person intuitively to see what we get. And oftentimes questions that they have come in with get answered in that first session. And then the second half is the opportunity for each client to ask questions. So I do ask that people come prepared with questions that they are wondering about any aspect of their life. And then I do also ask people to bring with them some hard copy photographs of loved ones who are living or who have passed on, which really helps enhance the accuracy of my attempts to connect with a loved one who has passed on. That can happen very spontaneously for me, but oftentimes people come in and they want to hear from someone very specific. And I think folks don't realize that this is not an on-demand service. I don't have a remote control where I can punch in or talk to and dial up that person on the spot. And I think that's a rather audacious position to take, that we can do that. But I will make every good effort that I can to attempt to connect with someone specific, and having that person's photograph can really be very helpful. But as always, there are no promises and no guarantees of anything. And the best clients are those who just kind of, as your song said, roll with the flow.
Right. I know, and often, because I do know a lot of psychics and mediums, then often someone will ask a question, but they don't get the answer to that question they ask. They get really what spirit thinks is most important for them to hear, I guess.
Absolutely, right. And with me, you have to expect the unexpected. And, the challenge with coming to a psychic, as you just said, or a medium, is that you may not like what you hear. And I do my very best to try to couch things in a way that is very gentle and diplomatic. But if I am being impressed and urged to communicate something that someone needs to hear, I will say it.
Right. That's good. And have you ever given a reading to someone, William, that you thought was absolutely a bad person?
Have I given a reading to someone that I thought was a bad person? That's a good question. Maybe once or twice that I could think of, where I someone's energy just felt off to me. But I don't think that happens very often.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good. Maybe because people that have bad intentions wouldn't go to see someone like you in the first place.
Well, you're probably very right about that.
Well, that's good for you, William, you know?
I mean, I've had people make the mistake of asking me for lottery numbers, and then they get a stern lecture.
Right. I know, because that's not, I mean, we know that's not what it's about. So what, you know, and I ask most of my guests this question, what are three absolute truths for you that you know as the absolute truth? Three absolute truths for you, William.
Gosh, three absolute truths. Probably know thyself. Be as genuine and authentic as possible with yourself and with others, and illuminate the truth. No secrets of any kind.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. So is it okay if you do a few readings on here?
We can give it a shot. I wasn't prepared to do that tonight. So I haven't entered into that meditation time that I typically would, but I'm willing to give it a try. And is this people that are going to be calling in, or are these questions that people are typing in?
No, it's there's quite a few callers on hold, but I don't expect to get to all of them, but they would be calling in to talk.
Okay. Well, go ahead, and I would just ask that people calling in ask a very, very specific question instead of saying, do you have any messages for me, or can you tell me who's around me?
Okay. Well, can you tell me who's around me, William? No, I'm only kidding. okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a short song break here, and then we will start picking up callers. So you guys just sit tight, and William will give it a shot. And we have, let me see, I'm going to play a song that is, I want to give you a little bit of time. I'm going to play Hallelujah, and that's 7 minutes. So we'll be back right after this song, you guys, and thanks for being with us tonight. And thank you, William.
Oh, my pleasure.
Strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. And she tied you to her kitchen chair, and she broke your throne, and she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew. Thank you. baby, I've been here before. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. You know, I used to live alone before I knew you. And I've seen your flag on the marble arch. And love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember when I moved in you, and the holy dove was moving too, and every breath we drew is hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Maybe there is a God above, but all I've ever learned from love was how to shoot somebody who I drew you. And it's not a cry that you hear at night. It's not somebody who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah by Jeff Buckley, my favorite version too, Christy. I love that version. Of course, it was originally by Leonard Cohen, the great Leonard Cohen, who just passed away a few months back, unfortunately, but he's just amazing. I just love him. Okay, so we are back with William Stillman, and you can find William once again at williamstillman.com, and he has graciously agreed to do a couple of readings here. And so we're going to take the first caller, who is James at 527-413-527. James, are you there?
I am indeed. Thanks for picking up. And hello, William.
Hello, James. What question do you have this evening, James?
Well, basically, I'm in a situation where, as a result of my particular life experience, I am trying to resolve an ability to interface constructively. I guess that's the best way I can put it. I've identified the need to find people that are capable of recognizing my value at the same time being more proactive. What I was wondering is that, do you have any sense as to people or types of people within my general value system that I might have overlooked that would be able to facilitate a lot of what I want to accomplish?
That's a good question, James. I see you as having a very logical, methodical, analytical train of thought. Do you understand that?
I would say that it's there's a certain duality. I also have a very strong emotional hierarchy too. So it's kind of, you know, depending on how precisely I'm received at any moment. I speak in a way that a lot of people would immediately end up seizing upon the more analytical aspect.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm wondering. A couple of things. First
sure.
of all, they're connecting me to higher education where you are concerned. So it feels as though there's some sort of process or some maybe paraprofessional or personal relationship connection to academia. That's what I'm being shown. The second thing that I'm being shown connected to you is written expression. And they're showing me things like personal testimony, memoir-type anecdotes, poetry, song lyrics, things of that nature. Does any of that make sense to you?
I've been doing that for years in a lot of instances. I do a lot of it online now, and there is the very express need for expediency. What I was going to say with respect to higher education, it's an adverse relationship, and that would be a conversation directly related to my perspective in terms of conditions on the spectrum. I see a very big conflict, and I am certainly, in some ways, the poster child for it. Autodidact, self-directed, and the culture right now just doesn't support a lot of the expectations that are creating the amount of stress, I think, in a lot of people like both of us, even though we may have different perspectives.
Yeah, I would encourage you not to write it off completely, because authentic change can only come when we advocate for ourselves and when we are advocating for others. So,
and I'm doing
very
just that outside that system.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I wish you all the very best, truly, and I continue to champion your causes and what it is that you're passionate about.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, William. It's been a pleasure listening to you.
Thank you. Take good care now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, and that was excellent, William. Okay, so moving right along, we have area code 714, who's been on hold for a long time now. Hi, 714.
Hi, my name's Alexis, and my question is not about myself, but hopefully you can answer it. The future of the Ethereum crypto coin.
Say it again, honey. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
The future of the Ethereum crypto coin?
I have no idea what that is. You'll have to explain that.
Well, cryptocurrency is a digital currency like Bitcoin, becoming wildly popular over the past couple years. So I was just wondering if you have any insight into the particular coin, Ethereum, and what its future is looking like.
I'm sorry. I'm the wrong person to ask that question, I'm afraid.
Okay.
I'm not good with money. I'm not good with money or numbers.
How about romance, my future romantic possibilities? How's that?
Okay. Are you in a relationship presently?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. They're directing my attention to my ring finger, which is a reference to engagement or marriage.
Oh, no, I'm definitely not going to marry this person.
Okay. Well, it doesn't mean It doesn't mean that you are going to be engaged or married to the person you are with presently. All right. Who is the male with the R name around you?
No idea.
Okay. I'm going to send you off with that then. Hold that out as a possibility. R as in Robert or Richard.
Okay.
And keep your options open, okay?
Okay.
Okay, good luck to you.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Okay, I didn't know what that coin was either. That sounds strange. But anyways, okay, so next we have area code 312. Hi, 312.
Hi, this is Karen from Chicago.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen. What can we do for you?
My question is that I'm looking for a job right now, and I interviewed with a temp agency, and I'm just wondering if you see what you see.
Karen, they're pulling me to the medical field where you are connected. Would that make sense to you?
I did look at a couple hospitals through my job search, but I didn't apply to those.
I would be encouraging of you to explore, because you have such a maternal energy about you, and there's a great gentleness and compassion about you. They just showed me the word geriatrics also. So I'm wondering how that strikes you.
Oh, yeah, I take care of my mom right now. So, yeah, I have been doing that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So think on that with respect to potential employment opportunities. I would encourage you to be looking at the hospitals. I would also encourage you to be looking at, they keep showing me the word dementia. So you might want to think about something connected to the Alzheimer's field or caregiving or administration in that area.
Okay.
I really feel like that would be fulfilling for you, or that would fulfill a calling for you, that kind of very nurturing, very compassionate, very caregiving, caretaking.
Okay. No, that's my little dad. I will look into that. Thank you.
All right. I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Karen. Okay, moving right along. These are nice and quick. okay, next we have Jade at 610. Hi, Jade.
Hello.
How are you?
Hiya, Jade. What can we do for you?
Hi, William. Thank you for taking my call. I was calling about concerning career. I'm presently looking for another job, but I am employed now, thankfully. And I've been putting resumes out there. I continue to do so, and I wanted to see, what you're picking up for me.
Jade, they're not showing me a change of career as much as they're showing me the need for you to receive additional coursework, training, or education to get to where you ultimately want to be. Does that make sense to you?
I was finishing some classes. I took two already,
Yes. So I am encouraging of you to continue down that path. And I think, fortunately, you are employed at present. So you have a little bit of that luxury of being able to sort of forge that path as you're moving forward and taking a course or two courses at a time to get you toward that goal of that will command more responsibility and a salary commensurate with the additional responsibility. Have you had a tough time of it growing up, or have you had some tragedy in your life?
I mean, a few things here and there, but nothing that I couldn't handle.
Okay, because it feels like you had a tough time of it coming up or were maybe disadvantaged in some way. And I don't want any of that to affect your self-esteem or your confidence as you're moving forward.
Okay. But
okay.
So you're not picking up any, because I'm looking to find something closer and a better position, because the commute for me is very hard right now. I spend over 2 hours a day commuting every day. So.
Well, the answer I gave you is what I was directed to tell you.
Okay.
Okay. So do with that information
you.
What you will, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Take care now.
Thanks, Jade. Okay. All right. The next caller is area code 323.
Hi.
Hello. Hello. Hi.
Hi. My name is Yvette, and I would love a relationship reading. I haven't asked that in a while. I'm just curious on what you're picking up. There's some interesting stuff going on around me.
Yeah. Yvette, you've got a lovely energy about you. And
thanks.
Are you a big music lover?
I love music.
Yeah. It feels to me as though there is going to be a musical connection in a forthcoming relationship, or that will enhance a relationship that is already connected. But it feels as though this will be a grand, sweeping romance. So I would encourage, they just showed me a flash of, there's a coffee shop not far from you where they have people perform on certain nights of the week. Is that correct?
I don't know. There was something my friend performed at, but they're closing, which is literally a block away from me. But other than that, Okay.
Yeah, think about it beyond our time together, because it feels like there's a connection there in some way. And I can't say that I know it's the place that you're already aware of that's closing, but there may be connections there. So I would take advantage of your network of people who are maybe musicians or artisans, and accept any and all social invitations that have to do with music. And
who knows what that
might facilitate.
Well, actually, this is interesting. I do work an event on Saturdays, and we have live bands. So it's...
Well, there you have it.
So I might meet him at my events that I work at.
That's a strong possibility, yes. But, you know, just continue to be as lovely and sweet as you are. I'm being told you have a great smile. Use it.
Okay.
Use it. And someone who plays guitar and drums, possibly.
Do you get a hit on this person energetically, the potential person I could be meeting?
I don't know what you mean. I just gave you...
Okay.
What I could about him,
okay.
Who it was, and where you might meet him, and what he might play. He also sings.
Okay, cool. Can I ask one more question about this something,
yeah.
Or is that too much?
Well, that's at the discretion of our hostess. I don't know how many people are waiting.
That's what I'm asking. No, don't want to be rude.
All right. Cool. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
thank
just
you.
Just quickly ask.
Okay, yeah. Friend of mine, she is trying to instigate something. You know when someone's instigating a relationship and you got a big kind of like not feeling comfortable with that? I wanted to know what you were picking up about that.
I would need the first name of that person if you're comfortable in revealing
that. Sure. His name, her name that she's trying to set us up, or his name?
Her name, please. You're asking
Lotus.
About her because you feel uncomfortable about it, correct?
Yeah, Lotus.
Her name is Lotus?
Yes.
Okay. She feels a little bit bossy or a little bit aggressive to me.
Mm-hmm. That was a very aggressive move she made.
Pardon me?
It was a very aggressive move with Misha. She did. It was kind of like out of nowhere. Very aggressive, like, yeah, I want you and so-and-so. Like, yeah, they want you to, like, help us out. He really wants you there, and... I'm like, and I can feel it's more of a matchmaking kind of a situation.
Right. Well, she feels like she's kind of large and in charge, almost like she sees herself as people's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go with what your gut is telling you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
you know,
everything.
You do have some. You have you have an intuitive aspect of your personhood that I would encourage you to listen more to, so that you don't have to ask people like myself.
Well, you know, I do listen
you
to
don't...
it, but when you confirm
Good.
For
we'll
me,
keep
that
going.
Makes it
you
exciting.
Don't...
Thank you.
Understood, but you don't need me or any other psychic. You already got it.
Thanks, buddy. You're amazing. Thank you so
All right.
much.
Keep
Yay.
Going.
Thank
keep
you.
Keep going.
I will.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Appreciate
okay.
it.
Okay. Thank you.
I love
Eva.
When I can tell. I love when I can say that to people. My job's to work myself out of a job, so I really love when I can say, "You don't need me."
Right. Totally. Right. I know. I wish there was more people you could say that to. okay. And next we have Anna. I think her name's your name's Oksana, right?
It's my legal name, but my middle name is Anne, so he can call me Anne. Hi, William.
Hi, Anne.
How are you doing?
I'm doing
okay,
peachy keen, and I hope you are well.
Yeah, thank you. Do you see for me, like, a remarriage or a long-term relationship in the future, or it may not even happen soon?
And it feels to me like your plate is overflowing. It feels to me like you are being pulled in many different directions, or that you are. It feels like you just never quite get caught up, or there's always a distraction, or somebody wants you to do something for them. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do. I understand, and it's true.
Yeah, I think I'm detecting in you a little bit of depression. And I'm also going to suggest to you that you need to learn to say no, that you can't be Little Miss Fix-It for everyone, because that fosters a dependency that is unhealthy to other people. So you're sort of facilitating that. So I want you to kind of take the next 3 to 6 months to work on that. And what's going to happen from there is you're going to start to put out a higher vibration energy that's going to attract the proper people to you, such that you will have 2 to 3 different suitors as possibilities for companionship.
Do you know where I can meet them? Because honestly, my weekend
Honey,
I'm available.
You didn't hear what I just said.
Let me tell you,
what
actually,
said,
it's my elderly mom.
Yeah.
I cannot say to this person, no. She's very elderly and she is very lonely. So she is mostly
said, okay. So what I said to you was, you have to learn to say no, because you're being pulled in many different directions. There's a lot of distractions and a lot on your plate. I understand about caring for mom, but that's not all of it. And then I also said, please take the next 3 to 6 months to work on you and making some adjustments and putting out a higher vibration energy, and that will serve you well moving forward. Okay.
Okay, but
Think
you don't
what
know
I've
where.
Said.
Where can I meet these people? Like, should I go to any clubs or dating sites?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you to reflect on what I've said, and when you're ready, in 3 to 6 months, that person or persons will find you.
Do you think I know someone,
right,
or it's someone from the past?
No, that's the best that I can do for you tonight, my dear. Think on what it is that I told you and put it into action, and things will play out, I promise. All right? Good luck to you.
Thank you so much, William.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Anna. Okay. And you know, such as what we talked about before, William, sometimes the answer isn't the answer we want. You know what I mean? It's not the answer that we're calling in for, so to speak. Okay, so next up is 707. Hello, 707.
Hello.
Hi. Can you? Okay, so you turned your show page off. Okay, what is your name?
Valerie.
Valerie. Hi,
Hiya,
Valerie.
Valerie.
And did you have a question?
Hi. Yes. Hi, William. This is Valerie. I'd like to know also about relationship. Do you see one coming this summer?
Valerie, I see for you a getaway, a vacation of some sort. Do you have something planned already?
No, I don't.
It feels like it's going to be possibly someplace warm or tropical. I don't know if you live near a beach or a shore, but it feels like the kind of thing where you have the potential to go with a couple of girlfriends, and then I feel like there's going to be a flirtation coming as a byproduct of that. So I will put that out there to you.
Is it going to be any more than a flirtation? I'm looking for
I'm not seeing much beyond that, but I think that it will be exciting, and I'm not sure where it's going to feel romantic. So I will say that, and so I think the rest is up to you.
Okay, well that sounds.
Do you have a couple? Do you have a couple of close girlfriends that you would maybe go away with on a long weekend, perhaps?
I don't think so.
Well, think on it, because it feels very much like it's sort of like a sorority of a few women that you would be going to a beach or a resort with. So think on that, please.
Okay.
All right, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Valerie.
Thank you.
Okay. I know, it's like everybody, you know, not everybody asks for love questions, but William, I understand that, because, you know, we want to be loved and we want to love, you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
I try not to to say to myself, oh, another love question. I mean, to me, it's important, you know? So anyways, okay, mm-hmm. So the next caller is 760. 760, are you there?
Corrine, it's Carolyn. I didn't think I would had a chance in heaven getting on, but it's heavenly that I did. Hello, William.
Hello, how are you?
Hey.
Well, William, next question. Your interview was wonderful. William, Corrine, I connected with her a week ago, and she is an angel. She's been so helpful in just my facing some major challenges, and she particularly.
Aren't you sweet?
Well, it's all true. I don't give, just as you were saying, like white lies. It's true. You discuss so many things that I, although I've never been able to say professionally, intuited as far as how dark energy enters,
mm-hmm.
you know, humans, the vulnerable, those who have are on drugs or alcohol, absolutely everything. It was so, to use a big word, edifying, but it was so, you know, so it just explained so much. And I think, though, just a comment on the interview, Corrine, your questions were so right on, and the interplay, the interview was just outstanding, is that some people, when they think of, confuse the difference between ghosts and who are previously, as I understand it, incarnated beings versus demonic energy. Not that some ghosts can't be very negative and dark, but, and I think that's wherein a lot of, you know, the confusion lies. And William, as I was listening to you and the other questions, I was going through you are a prolific writer, and particularly thank you and bless you for all the work you do with those suffering from Asperger's and autism. But there is the one book on ghosts and demons, so I'm going to get that. my question
is it, excuse me, is it Carolyn, did you say?
It is. I am Carolyn.
Carolyn, thank you. I think that you will enjoy that book. I regret that the cover looks kind of dark, but it really is a book about empowerment. So I think that you will enjoy it. Carolyn, as you're talking, I'm also being told to tell you that you're a survivor. Do you know what that means?
I am the absolute personification of survivor. I'm in my 70s,
okay,
and have had a lifetime of overcoming some of the most off-the-charts challenges. But,
perfect. What I'm, if I may interject
anything,
here, because
is the best. Yeah.
Honey, if I may interject, because with you, spirit's coming really hard and fast, so if you let me ramble for a moment.
Good. Yes, I
please.
Will. Take over. Take over.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What I am being told to tell you right now is that you are of robust health. Now, you may disagree with that, but this is what I'm being shown, that you are a pure and clear and clean channel yourself. And I'm also being told to tell you about spiritual ascendancy and that the very best is yet to come for you and that it is well-deserved and well-earned. So I will tell you that.
Oh, thank you so much. I wasn't going to ask for a general Oh, thank you, William, for that so much. That means more than I can say. I have to focus on being healthy and robust because physically, you know, and I'm trying to manifest Corinne. I call her Corinne. That's my great grandfather. I feel a great grandmother, a great association with her. Angels brought her to me, but now I'm getting off track. But I think it's so important to visualize that. But I am trying to manifest a miraculous healing. And so I feel so blessed when spirit leads me to, and to persons like yourself and Corinne who are so helpful and supportive and, you know, in that, and it, because it's very challenging. I had one.
Carolyn, I am sending you love and strength and all good things.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
I'm going to take a deep breath to receive that. To thank you so much. And just a quick question. I have been alone. That's one of the greatest challenges until I've recently connected with some wonderful, it's kind of an overuse, light workers like yourselves. But I've been under attack from everything, every possible you can at many levels. And recently my question is, I'm a little bit afraid to ask, is I've tried to seek a counselor whom I hope will have a believe in the paranormal, but just let's just say more of a therapeutic counselor to be able to discuss and release some of the things that I've had no one else to speak of to. And I think I found someone, and I just wonder, William, whether you have a sense. I have her first name or initial, and I feel really good about her, particularly since she loves animals.
I've got to tell you, Carolyn, I keep seeing a cat sitting in your lap, I'm feeling as though it's the soul energy of perhaps an animal that's passed on.
As we said in the 60s, my man, right on. I'm a passionate animal lover, but I had one particular cat who could really commune recently with spirit, and who's tried to protect me. She and I have been under pretty serious attack, but she still tries. I think comes and tries to guard me and help me, and that's so wonderful to hear, William.
Yes.
However.
Yes. So in response to your question, I'm feeling neutral about the person that you're with. So that means if it feels great to you, please, please move forward with this professional. But the other thing that I'm being told to tell you is that you may benefit greatly from, and you could possibly get a referral from the person you're currently seeing for a past life regression therapy.
Yes, that's some of that has, I was, again, blessed to connect with some past life regression, and that was very, very it certainly explained a lot. I've accepted, if you will, my fate or my destiny, and I've understood it, but I still don't feel it's my time yet to move on, that I have a lot to do, and for that reason just keep fighting and get through this. William, to clarify, I'm not currently seeing this person. Boy, did I have a couple. Oh, I tried to get a sense of, and your advice, I'm rambling now, for people to listen to their intuition is so right, and Corinne knows this too, because I tried to, the last few months, connect with a couple. Their CV looked really good. One was, you know, for those of us who've been exposed to a lot of trauma particularly, looked good, and the voice didn't sound good, and the first meeting I was going, and I backed out of it in both cases, and that's, I guess, why I'm asking this. I have not met with this person yet. It would be a first meeting week after next, so I don't know whether that means anything differently into your answer, William, but I have not met with her yet. I've just spoken to her on the phone. Just,
Okay. Well, it feels kind of ambivalent to me, so I don't feel strongly one way or the other, but I do feel that this person has integrity. I will say that.
That's what I'm sensing too, and whether it's a good fit, regardless. I mean, aside from that, that's good because that's interesting you use that word because the one that I went to, William, I have a sense of humor. I felt I should be counseling her, and I felt her sense of integrity was greatly compromised. And that's interesting that you use that word, but that helps a lot. Thank you. And I know there are others. Corinne, that was, and I've just, I have a message for you. I'm an intuitive. When you said you kind of apologized for the cover of that book, no, it's perfect. We're dealing with dark energy. It tells it like, hey, William, it says it like it is. It is dark. It is very dark, and it's perfect. So don't second guess yourself. Oh. It's perfect.
All right.
So that's
I'm glad you like
you.
It. Thank you very much.
Well,
I wish you all the best.
No, but it's you too. Thanks, Corinne. I love you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Carolyn. Okay. I'm so glad she got on and spoke to you. She's a sweetheart. Okay, so the next caller. Thanks for doing this, William. You're doing phenomenal job.
Yeah, I need to ask how much longer we're going.
Oh, okay. Well, we're supposed to go another half hour, but we can cut out any time that is convenient for you. So if you want to, it's up to you what you would like to do. Do you want to?
How about it?
No, I mean,
how about if we go maybe? How about if we go another 15 minutes? I apologize. I didn't realize this was a two-hour program.
Oh, that's okay. That is absolutely okay. 15 minutes it is. Thank you. Okay, so the next caller is area code 262. Hi, 262.
Hi, Corinne. It's Jacqueline.
How are you?
I'm good. My question is... our family's going through some changes right now, so I'm wondering if there's a particular area I need to work on or if we're just going to be able to ride this wave and come out the other side.
Jacqueline, who is the young male in the family?
Here or gone?
Here. Do you have a son?
No. I have nephews and stuff, but I have one daughter.
Nope. I'm picking up on a young male that's having a tough time of it and is maybe an adolescent or early 20s.
Okay. That might be my nephew.
Okay. It feels to me that, and I don't know if this has anything to do with your question, but this is what I'm being directed to tell you, okay? It feels to me that he is in need of particular support at this time, and it feels to me also that you would be a good listener to have a conversation with him and to let him ventilate whatever it is that he needs to get off his chest or that's going on with him.
Okay. Yep, that does
all
make
right.
sense.
All
right? Yes.
Okay, perfect. I'm feeling also that time is of the essence, and that's not a prediction of anything to upset or alarm you, but it feels like he's really struggling and having a tough time of it.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes, thank you very much. That does make sense. Thanks.
All right, perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack. Okay. I think she was calling from the North Pole.
Or the subway or something. It's not...
yeah. Okay. And just one more caller. It is area code 831. Are you there, 831?
Yes, I'm here. I'm Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
I have a question because in my house, I'm being psychically attacked. Do you know who this is? At night and in the morning.
Yeah. It feels to me as though, do you have information about previous owners of your home?
No.
Okay, I think you're going to have to research that. It feels to me like it's a male energy, and it feels to me more like a ghostly presence than anything else. I'm being shown the word resentment or resentful connected to him. I think that this person was not a very nice person, was possibly an alcoholic. I'm smelling alcohol connected to him.
Okay.
I'm wondering if you have smelled it also.
No, but I feel crunchy energy all the time and a lot of hatred from him.
Yeah. I feel as though maybe you've caught the fleeting glimpse of something out of the corner of one eye, some movement. And it also feels as though you want to particularly protect yourself when you're in the bathroom, because that's when you are naked and at your most vulnerable.
Okay.
So it feels as though you're being looked in on when you're in that situation.
Right.
So it feels to me as though you could use some help from a local person to help to facilitate a process of sort of making your living environment feel a lot lighter, and to send this gentleman on his way into the glorious white light.
Okay, because I live pretty close to the beach. So somebody told me before that the beach area gets a lot of people that are transitioning or something. But you say he was a previous owner.
I think that's a strong possibility, and I'm smelling alcohol connected to him, and that he was not a very nice person. He feels in the age range of maybe 50 to 60, somewhere in there. They're also showing me the word suicide connected to this as well. This is, again, not to upset or alarm you. This is to empower you with knowledge.
Right. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
All right, dear.
Good luck, Leslie. Okay.
Thank you.
That was interesting. Okay, and just one last thing for me, William. Do you think
yes,
I will be able to continue doing what I find is my heart's desire? Like I have some challenges right now, but I'm wondering if you feel like I will make it through these challenges and be okay.
Yeah. So what I want to say, Corinne, is first of all, thank you so much for having me on your program. I enjoyed every moment of it. And you're a very sweet and gracious hostess, so I very much appreciate you having me on your show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, William.
Yes. What I would recommend to you is if the name and the description of the spirit guide that I saw for you resonated with you, to go ahead and run with that information to christen her yourself. In the context of a prayer, and I feel as though she's got a lot of creative energy that is going to help to push you forward with respect to events and activities that you will be organizing and facilitating, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, because I have so many ideas, William, you know, and I just want to be able to keep doing what I've been doing in a maybe a larger scale, but
absolutely,
yeah,
they're showing me, and I've never been to one of these things, so I don't have a clue of what I'm talking about, but I'm just being told to say it. They're showing me a little paracon. So I don't know if you've done that sort of thing in the past, but it will be under the auspices or under the banner of the work that you do, or will be sponsored by your show or something of that nature, where you are gathering together like-minded people, practitioners, some vendors. Start low and go slow. So it's going to be small. Maybe it's just going to be one afternoon someplace. But I'm seeing you speaking to the group, and I'm seeing lots of wonderful creative energy converging in one place.
Yes, William, that is so weird because I am planning an event like that.
Well, please accept what I just told you then as a validation of it coming to fruition and continue moving forward with it, please.
Oh, I will, definitely. Wow, thank you so much. And I just have to thank you on behalf of everyone who needs your help and your wisdom, William. I just, you really don't have any idea of how many people's lives you are touching, and, bless you for keeping on and just, reaching out to everyone that you reach out to. Thank you so very much.
Well, thank you. I am humbled. And I am blessed and privileged to do what I do, and I take seriously the mantle of responsibility that I bear. So those are very kind and loving words, and again, I enjoyed every moment of our time together, and please do stay in touch.
I will, definitely. Thank you so much. And once again, I just want to tell everyone you can find William at williamstilleman.com. And you can see what events he has coming up. You can actually go look for his books on Amazon. And I don't know if he sells them from his website, but definitely check out his website and all the information there. And thank you, everyone who joined us tonight and everyone that called in. So much appreciated. The next show will be on June 1st with Edie Cato. And I will talk you guys at that time. And until then, take care of each other and take care of yourselves. And thank you so much. And we'll see you again very soon, I hope.
Living hell of another world.
Step out of the world you see.
You do not respond.
The Supernatural Radio Show. Open up your mind.
We programmed your brain.
The Supernatural Radio Show.
You must learn to obey.
Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. The Supernatural Radio Show.